Welcome to the C3 SYD podcast. Our heart for you is that you would know Jesus, find community, and discover purpose. To find out more about our church, head to our website at c3syd.church. We hope that this message encourages you today.
How are we, church? We good? Such a beautiful presence of God here this morning. Shall we just spend a bit more moment just letting Him in? Why don't you just close your eyes for a moment? Lift your hands. Just let the Holy Spirit fill you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, come, come, and more and more. Oh, increase on our lives, in our hearts, our souls, our minds. Give Him your full attention. Cast distraction aside. Think on Jesus, and He'll come near to you in this moment. Quench a thirst within us, Lord. Oh, that only can be quenched by You, Holy Spirit. Come, come more and more. Just let Him in. Let Him in. Let Him in. Oh, come, come, Holy Spirit. Oh, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Come more and more. Oh, deeper. Go deeper in our hearts. Oh, deeper in our lives. Deeper in our marriages. Deeper in our homes, in our neighborhoods, deeper in our workplaces, oh, in our children, Lord, oh, our youth, God. Come more and more, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit. Oh, yes, 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 thank you, Lord. Oh, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, we're not in a hurry here this morning. Oh, we're waiting on You, Holy Spirit. So come. Oh, come. Oh, Lord. La-da-dee-da-da-dee. Yes, Lord. Come, come, and more, and more, and more. Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit. If you're dry and weary, just lift your hands. Oh, just let His presence fill you. Oh, let Him quench your thirst this morning. As a deer pants for water, so my soul pants for You, Lord. Oh, that You would come more and more. Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit. Fill every life in this place, Lord. Every hand lifted, Lord. Every heart lifted. Oh, fill us anew, Jesus. Fill us anew, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. You know, Maddie and Em, just lift your hands for me. Come, Holy Spirit. When I saw your baby announcement this week, I felt strongly in my heart that You're not just going to birth a baby. Yes, You will. That is happening. But I feel like You're birthing into a new season. That the old is gone. I even saw like an old mantle being lifted off you and a new one being put on you. And not that the old was bad, but it's not for now. And that there's a new season You're about to stand in and walk in. And you're not just going to birth physically, but you're birthing spiritually. Lord, and I just thank you, Father, that you come upon them in a new way. Lord, I thank you where it's been dry. Lord, that the streams of living water flood again, Lord. Father, I thank you, God, you give them a fresh vision. Lord God, that they will begin to see again, speak again, believe again. Lord, I thank you, faith rises, Lord, in their hearts, God. Father, I thank you, Lord, that you are with them, that they are not alone, God, but you are with them every step of the way. Lord, I thank you, they're going to begin to reach out. I see your hands reaching out and bringing people in, people that have not been reached out to. I see you sharing your story, sharing the goodness of God, and people being reached by what he's done in your life. I see you opening up your home. I see you opening up your friendship circle and inviting people in to that circle, into a close place. And you're seeing people's lives touched by Jesus. Lord, I thank you for them. Pour out upon them, Jesus. Pour out upon them, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord. Courtney, just lift your hands. Lord, I thank you for Courtney and Ryan Trestrail. Oh, let the streams of living water fill them again afresh, Lord. Lord, where it's felt dry, Lord. Oh, God, quench their thirst, Jesus. Lord, meet every need in this season, Lord. Father, I thank you she wouldn't look to the left or the right. She doesn't get distracted by circumstance or situation, Lord, but she keeps her eyes fixed on Jesus. Lord, I thank you, Father, that you pour out upon her, oh God, more and more. Lord, that your presence is with her. The mind of Christ, a heart after God. Fill them, Lord, with your presence. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I thank you for Jasara, Lord. Just lift your hands. Thank you for her, God. Thank you for her obedient heart. You know, I just see you just in step with him. Wherever he leads you, you say yes. And I feel like because of that, yes, there's going to be a big step coming your way. And you may even sense it already in your heart. But do not fear. Don't get scared. Don't be worried. Do not be anxious, for he is with you. And like he's looked after you time and time again, he's going to keep looking after you, your children, oh, your marriage. Lord, I thank you, Father, that you filled Jasara with your Holy Spirit. Lord, I thank you for an obedient heart that says yes to you and your ways, to your calling. Father, and I thank you, Lord God, where you're calling her next. Lord, it may seem crazy to other people, but to you, Lord, there is great purpose in it. Father, and I thank you that you fill her with your Holy Spirit, Lord. Oh, keep her children, keep her husband, Lord. Knit them together, Lord. Father, I thank you, Jesus, for her, Lord God. Fill her, Lord, fill her, Lord, fill her, Lord. With your Holy Spirit. God, we thank you for this morning. Lord, we thank you for your word. Oh God, we thank you. It goes deep in our hearts today. Father, I thank you, Lord, that you would quench thirsty souls this morning, Lord. Father, you draw people home today. God, we thank you that you give us revelation of what is in us, Lord, that can flow out of us, God, into many lives all over Sydney, every neighborhood, every school, every workplace. Father, I thank you, God, that you would use us. Oh, God, use our hands, our feet. Lord God, Father, thank you that you love us. Lord, that you increase this morning. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Can we give the Lord some praise? Beautiful. Amen. Amen. Wonderful. You can take a seat this morning, church. Thank you, band. Love you so much. You're the best. You're the best. Excellent. Well, we are in our campaign, Life in the Desert, and this morning we are talking about living a life of witnessing, living on mission. And we're going to be looking at the story of the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman. So I would love you, if you've got your Bibles, to turn to John 4 and read along with me. Now, I'm going to read a bit of a chunk, so stay with me, stay in the story. If you don't have your Bibles, it'll be on the screen, so follow along with me. Team, I'm going to start at verse 3, if that's okay. It says this: Jesus left Judea and departed again for Galilee, and he had to pass through Samaria. Let's just pause there for one moment. Jesus didn't have to do anything. And actually, normally, a Jew would never go through Samaria because Jews and Samaritans did not get along. But I love how he says he had to pass through Samaria. Jesus was on mission. Verse 5, so he came to a town of Samaria called Sychar, near the field that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. So Jesus, wearied as he was from his journey, was sitting beside the well. It was about the sixth hour. A woman from Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink," for his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, woman of Samaria? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw water with and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob? He gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and his livestock." Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I will not be thirsty or have to come here to draw water." Jesus said to her, "Go call your husband and come here." The woman answered him, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You are right. You have no husband. For you have had five husbands, and the one you now have is not your husband. What you have said is true." And the woman said, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet." We'll pause there. It goes on and on. It's a great story. Finish it in your own time. But here, Jesus comes to a well to spend time with a Samaritan woman and hear her story. I love that the verse that really just sort of popped out to me when I was preparing this message for our church, in verse 10 it says, "And Jesus answered her, 'If you knew the gift of God,'" if you only knew the gift of God that was available to you, you would be running to find this gift. And I wanted to remind us first and foremost this morning of the gift of God that is within you. Don't forget who's living in you this morning. If people only knew the gift of God of salvation that could quench a thirst, that could fill them with faith and hope and love, I believe they would be running to the answer. But they don't know. And so we have the gift within us to be able to share with people the answer that is Jesus Christ. Well, have you ever grown up and thought, "I wish I knew that when I was younger. That really would have helped my life. If only I knew that, it would have stopped some heartache, would have stopped some pain, and I'd be in a very better position right now." Well, I feel like I have a bit of a due diligence here this morning to let you know of a few things that could change your life. The first is Has anyone ever cut an onion and began to cry when they cut that onion? Yeah, just a couple of you? Okay, if only you knew, guys. If you get a wet paper towel and you cut your onion on that wet paper towel, it soaks up all the onion juice. Is that a word? Yep, the onion juice. And you don't cry when you're cutting an onion. You're welcome. That will change your life. If only you knew that 10 years ago, that would have solved a lot of problems when you're cooking. Another one for you. Does anyone have children here? Yes. Do they constantly need batteries for their toys? Yes. I have three children and they need batteries for everything that they love. So Daniel and I are often rummaging through trying to find batteries. Well, do you ever find a handful of batteries and wonder if they are dead or alive? Yes, happens every day. So if you get a battery and you chuck it on the ground, on hard surface, if that battery bounces, it's a dead battery. If it doesn't bounce, you're good to go. Put it in that toy. It's going to be working in a second. You're welcome. If only you knew. If only you knew. Okay, I've got one more for you. Tic Tacs. Anyone love a Tic Tac? Personally, I love the orange flavour better. Yeah, thank you for those with me. Now, who has ever tried to just, you know, get one Tic Tac out when you're pouring it out like that? But it never happens. 10 fall out. And then you've got to try and put them back in and they get all sticky and then you can't offer them to friends because you've touched them all and it's just awkward. Well, if only you knew, turn your Tic Tacs upside down. I've just learnt this one. And I practiced this a few times, guys, so I'm putting my mic down for a minute. Okay, tap it. Okay, let's make sure it works. Give it a good old tap. Open up your Tic Tac upside down. Hang on, needs another tap. Come on. Oh my God. Never works when you want it to work. One Tic Tac comes out, guys. Game changer. It's got a little Tic Tac holder. Did you know that? Did anyone know that in this room? Of course Graham Hickson knew that. Graham knows everything. Guys, game changer right there. If only you knew. Let me just get that so I don't slip. Because do you know one of my most embarrassing moments? I was 9 months pregnant, leading a service, and I fell off the stage on my back. Was anyone in that meeting? Oh, yes. How awkward was it? It was terrible. Moving on. So we're not talking about embarrassing moments today. I'm not going to do that. I'm not pregnant, thank goodness. So if only you knew, if only you knew these things that would help your life. Now, these things are trivial. They're obviously not going to change your life. But what Jesus did here was say, if only she knew the gift of God that was available to her, how she would be running for the answer. And so as we talk about being a witness today, I just want to remind you of what is living inside of you. The gift of God, of salvation, that we can tell people about. So how to witness, how to live a life on mission. And you know, I hope that this is a bit of an encouragement to you today. I would not say that I am naturally an evangelistic person. I don't have the gift of evangelism, but I know probably like 99% of you in the room, we're still called to reach out and evangelize. And so it's not maybe something completely natural to me. I still get nervous like you. I still have to step out of my comfort zone like you. I still have to go to faith in some instances. And so I hope this encourages you that even though you may not see yourself as an evangelist, that you have the gift of God living within inside of you. And we're all called to witness and to let the streams of living water flow out of us. So how do we witness? I've got two simple thoughts for you today, and they're from this story of the Samaritan woman. They are that we would hear the thirst and that we would offer living water. You know, I love that Jesus just sat with this woman, heard her story and heard her thirst. This story is the longest recorded conversation that Jesus had with anybody in the Bible. I think that's incredible that the longest conversation he had with someone was not with his disciples. It wasn't with the Pharisees. It wasn't with a crowd of 5,000 people. It was with this one woman at the well that needed him. And he gave her the time. He sat and he listened and he heard her thirst. Psalm 42 verse 1 says, "As a deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God." My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. You know, we all have a thirst within us, and I don't think that it's naturally a bad thing. I think that God intended us to have a thirst and a hunger for Him. When it goes bad is that when we try and fill that thirst with other things that are not God, that we're trying to fill the thirst with things that actually cannot quench the thirst. And that's what this lady at the well was trying to do. And Jesus pointed it out. He said, "You're going from relationship to relationship to relationship to relationship to relationship." She was in her fifth one. And you're trying to quench your thirst for love through relationships. But the truth is that that's just going to keep happening time and time again, because the only one that can quench your thirst in your soul, because He created the thirst, is Jesus Christ. He's the only one that can quench that thirst in our soul. And I love that He just sat and listened to her thirst. You know, one of the greatest kind of joys for Daniel and I in this last season of our life has been when our kids have been growing up and they're going to school now, and being able to sort of be in a new context for our life of being around a lot of unbelievers and non-Christians. We both grew up in a Christian home. We grew up in church. We grew up in youth ministry. We went to Christian schools. We've never walked away from God. And I'm grateful for that testimony and story, but it didn't leave us a lot of space to ever have the context to share our faith. And so over the last few years, we've found ourselves in this new context of like, oh, wow, that we're surrounded by unbelievers and sharing our story. And we've seen so much come out of it. We've seen, you know, families coming to church and kids giving their lives to God and just so many great things. And I remember one conversation I had with a mum, and she just began to share her story with me and began to share her thirst and things she had been through. And I just sat and listened. And at the end of her story, she began to tell me that in her home, she had a lot of dark spiritual stuff going on in her house. And it was frightening her. She said to me, "I'm so scared. I hate going home. It scares me so much." And she said to me, "I know you won't believe me." And I said to her, I felt like the Holy Spirit nudge, you know, in these conversations. And I said to her, I do believe you. Actually, I believe in the spiritual realm. But I believe there's a bad spiritual realm and there's a good spiritual realm. And that is not good. That God would never come and bring fear, but He comes and brings peace. And if you would allow Him to, He could come into your home and into your life, and you could rebuke that dark spirit out of your house. As the words are coming to my mouth, I'm like, oh my gosh, Lord, what am I saying right now? And she's just staring at me like, and she said to me, she just kept saying, "I just can't believe you believe me." I'm like, "Yeah, I believe you." I'm like, "I know this stuff happens." You know, she didn't get saved in that moment. She's still on a journey, that beautiful mum, but she said to me at the end of that, she goes, "I'm going to go away and think about what you've said today." And I just want to say, as you sit and you listen to people's stories and the thirst that's in them, the Lord gives you these little opportunities just to bring the streams of living water into their lives. About a month ago, my husband turned 40, and he looks very young. It's very sad for me because I'm all haggard and he's like young and fresh. But anyway, it's all right. I've got my collagen cream, girls. Don't worry. And so we wanted to celebrate here. We put on a party and we're talking about who we wanted to invite, people that have been in our lives. And There was a guy in our world when we were growing up in youth that was saved, and he didn't come to this church, went to another church, but we'd always see each other at youth conferences, and him and Daniel had a great friendship, and he'd walked away from God, and you know, there was a lot going in his world, but I don't know why, and we hadn't spoken to him in probably 10 years, but I just thought I should invite him to Daniel's party. And so I jumped on and I sent him a message and said, hey, like, we'd love you to come along, be a part of it. He wrote back and said, oh, it's funny that you would reach out to me because I've been thinking of you guys. And he said, I can't come to the party, but could I fly up? He doesn't live here. He's like, could I fly to Sydney and stay with you? And would it be okay if I came to church? I said, absolutely not. You're not coming to church. How could you even ask me that question? No, I said, yes, come. Of course. And so he flew to Sydney a few weeks later and Daniel took him to church. And then after church, we were just hanging out together at our house and just, again, just sitting, hearing his story, hearing his thirst, the things he had walked through and been through, the things he was trying to quench his thirst with. And at the end of that conversation, Daniel just said, hey, should we ask Jesus back into your life? And he said, yes. And they prayed the prayer of salvation that night in our living room at home. He asked Jesus back into his life. You know, the interesting thing about this story is that she didn't know, the Samaritan woman didn't know she was seeking God. It's not like she woke up that morning and said, I'm going to go to the well and meet Jesus. She didn't know. She knew she had a thirst, and that's the thing. Most people know they've got a thirst, but they don't know how to quench it. And so she went to the well with this thirst in her heart and met Jesus. She wasn't seeking him, but he was seeking her. And I want to say that to you today in the room, particularly if you're here today and you're like, I don't even know what you're talking about. I got invited by a friend. I'm not sure what's going on here, but I want to say to you, he's seeking you. You may not even know you're seeking him, but he is seeking you. And he wants to fill your life with the goodness of God and quench the thirst in our soul. If we could just sit and hear the thirst and hear people's stories, God gives us the opportunity to offer living water. And that's my second point. That as the world gets darker, I believe people are going to get thirstier. And we need to be ready to offer them living water. That is Jesus that can quench their thirst. I believe, church, and I believe this deeply in my heart, that as a church, we're going to need to open our arms up a bit wider. And I'm talking to myself here, that we need to open our hearts up a bit deeper. That we're going to have to open up our connect groups. We're going to have to open up our friendship circles. Because as the world gets darker, our light needs to shine brighter. And there's going to be people walking into this church that maybe offend us, that maybe rub us the wrong way, that maybe we're not even sure about, but they're desperate for their thirst to be quenched. And we have the answer. Do you not know what is living inside of you? Rivers of living water. Rivers of living water. I've written down a few thoughts on how to witness. And these are just my own personal thoughts, things that I know have worked for me and for many others. Ways to witness and offer living water. Share your story. Your testimony is one of the greatest things you have. Sharing what God has done in your life to other people. Offer prayer. Sometimes I don't know what to say in conversations and I'll just say, can I pray for you? You know, is it okay if I pray for that situation this week? Invite somebody along to church. Speak truth into situations. I love this one because you can be in a conversation and it's just doom and gloom. You know, there's conversations that's just going round and round and there's only bad answers coming out, but you can actually begin to speak truth into that situation and say, no, this is going to turn around. You're going to be okay. Begin to speak truth into situations. Begin to speak encouragement into people. Oh, never underestimate the power of an encouraging word. Just the other day, I was speaking to a mum and she was upset about something with her children. And I just said, you're a great mom. I'm like, you're doing such a good job. And she just, the tears just began to pour out. Not because of me, truly. But I know the Holy Spirit moves on our words. Encourage somebody. And finally, live differently. Let your life bear witness. You know, last year I invited a friend to church. And, you know, this friend really needed a breakthrough. They were not doing well at all. And I said, come to church, and they agreed to come. And through that week, I was nervous, I was excited. You know, I was like, please let church be awesome on Sunday. You know, don't stuff it up, band, you know. Just joking, the band never stuffs it up. I was like, oh, Lord, don't let anyone weird talk to them this Sunday, please, Jesus. You know, let the message be great. You know, all those feelings you have. Tell me I'm not alone when you've invited a friend. You're very aware of everything. And so I was, you know, praying about it, but I was also really believing that this would be a defining moment in this person's life. I was like, God, this is it. You're going to encounter this person. You're going to turn this person's life around. The trajectory of their life is going to change. I have full faith that you're going to do something great in this moment. And so Sunday rolled around and this person came to church drunk off their face. And to be honest, and I'm ashamed to admit this, but if I'm honest, I was so upset. I was super hurt. I was just like, God, this was meant to be the moment that changed everything, and they're not even going to remember it. And I remember being in worship, and I love to worship. I don't know if you know that about me. But I am an unashamed worshiper. And I, you know, I love to stand right here at that stage. Sorry, Gordon. I was like at your feet today. I'm sorry for anyone that has to stand in that spot. And I just began to worship and I had tears coming down my face as I like let out my sadness to the Lord. And the Lord spoke to me so clearly in that moment. He said, I have not come for the healthy. I have come for the sick. And the scripture that straight away came to mind, Mark 2:17, says, it is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners. The Message version says, who needs a doctor? The healthy or the sick. I'm here inviting the sin sick, not the spiritually fit. You know, God, he's so desperate for these people to meet him. He doesn't care how they come. I had my own judgment going on. And I had my own deals going on. I was even offended that this would happen. But at the end of the day, it's not about me. And we need to learn to push through our barriers so that people can come to find Jesus. Jesus pushed through every barrier for this woman. He was a male Jew talking to a woman Samaritan. That might not seem crazy to you, but it is so scandalous. It says that even the disciples came out and were like, whoa, Jesus, Like, we know you're crazy, but this is another level for you. He pushed through the barriers so that this woman, and not only her, could find Jesus, but so her whole community could find Jesus as well. And I'm so convinced in my heart, and as I said, I'm speaking to myself as well, but we need to, as the church, push through our own barriers and allow people to come as they are, to come sick, because the Lord is not looking for the righteous. He's looking for those who desperately need Him, who have a thirst in their soul that can only be quenched by Jesus Christ. How do we get our thirst quenched? It's very simple. We just need to come to Jesus. It says in John 7:37, on the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink." This scripture is for the unbelievers, that they would come and find the gift of salvation that fills the voids and the gaps in our lives. But this scripture is also for us believers, because we don't just get our thirst quenched once off and that's it, but we would come daily to Jesus. Oh, and let Him fill you. One of the things I love about church, and there's so many, but one of the things I love is just letting Him fill me in worship again, quenching my thirst, so that I don't try and go and get my thirst quenched anywhere else, but we would come and let it be found in Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the C3 SYD podcast. To make sure you don't miss out on our next podcast, click subscribe. If you want to find out more about following Jesus, get connected, or find a C3 SYD location near you, head to c3syd.church/connect-with-us. Don't forget, you can find us on YouTube and Instagram at c3.syd. We look forward to having you back soon.